plate a potential nugget.
Rupa, thank you so much for your time. Excited to be talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe a good place to start is if you could talk a little bit about Omidyar Network, and more specifically, how is it different from some of the other impact investing firms around?
Sure. So at Omidyar Network, we invest in early stage entrepreneurs who have innovative ideas, very often leveraging technology to achieve social impact at scale. And we have a business model which is quite unique. We are neither a VC nor a foundation. And this unique business model stems from two fundamental beliefs. Number one, the belief in the power of business to do good. And second, the belief in the power of nonprofits to build a strong ecosystem for entrepreneurs, whether it be through policy or through market infrastructure. And these beliefs are what lead to our dual checkbook model. We therefore do both early stage equity investments in for-profit startups, and we also make grants to nonprofits. And we call this model a flexible capital model. So what this flexible capital model enables us to do is to actually have a wider toolkit than any VC would have, than any impact investor would have, or any foundation would have.
Wow. And how do you walk that tightrope from a capital allocation perspective? How do you think about how much gets deployed in each bucket?
So what is interesting is that the same investment professional makes investments in for-profits as well as the grants to nonprofits. And we treat our grant dollars as well as our equity dollars equally. And it's the investment professional who decides what's the best use of the dollar. So typically, if it's a market innovation of some kind, it would be a for-profit equity investment. But if it is to support organizations that work on policy agenda or policy reform, or organizations that build sector infrastructure, typically these would be nonprofits and we would give a grant. Just to give you an example, if you take the education sector, we've invested in a company called Aspiring Minds. It's a small startup which does assessments for jobs through computerized adaptive tests.
Now, so the one with Tarun Khanna, probably.
That is correct. And that's a company in which we are equity investors. We've also provided a grant to Teach for India, which produces teachers who we think of as critical sector infrastructure. Similarly, we have given a grant to an organization called the Education Alliance, which is an organization which works to promote public-private partnerships in education. And so together, you can see how the combination of these three investments can help to move an entire sector. And we really believe that if you can impact or accelerate the development of an entire sector, we will affect or impact far more many lives than any one single firm can do. And if we have to move an entire sector, it is important to have this holistic view of policy, market infrastructure, sector infrastructure, and disruptive innovators. And so that's where the two checkbook model comes in.
Very interesting. And therefore, so how does that impact how you think about outcomes and success? What does success look like at a firm level, at an investing professional level?
So the success at different levels and on different parameters, right? So at the highest level, it has to do with social impact. So what is the scale of our impact, the breadth of the impact? Very simply, it could be as simple as how many lives have we touched, to the depth of the impact. So how much does our investment touch an individual life, and how much does it help transform an individual life could be one way of looking at it. On the financial side, it's much easier because then you use the standard metrics of multiple on invested capital or IRR as any other firm would do. We also have measurements for sector level impact, whereby we identify in advance what we will consider as markers in the development of the sector, which we could deem as success. Of course, in all of this, I think we have to be humble, because in the work that we do, it's very difficult to attribute success to us always. We can talk about our contribution, but to claim attribution for sector change or for depth of impact in an individual life, I think becomes a bit challenging.
Got it. And just picking up on one of the themes you're passionate about, and you recently released a report, Innovating for the Next Half Billion. Talk to us about what's the play here.
We believe that today in India, the mobile phone can be one of the biggest drivers of social impact. With the cost of smartphones coming down and with data becoming cheaper, we have more and more people coming online for the first time through their mobile phones today. And over the next 5 years, we expect that 500 million people will come online in India for the first time through their mobile phones. And this is a population which is often referred to as the next half billion. What this means is that businesses will now find it much easier to access this population than they could ever have imagined before. And therefore, this population now represents an interesting and attractive opportunity for businesses. However, in order to build successful businesses targeted at this segment, it is very important to understand that the next half billion are very different from the first wave of internet users. They are different in terms of their income levels, their education levels, their skill sets, their language skills, and even their social and cultural context. And so therefore, the barriers that they face or they perceive while using the internet are unique. And it is only if entrepreneurs can understand these barriers and figure out how to address these barriers, can they build successful businesses targeted at the next half billion. And these barriers could be several, like absence of adequate local language content on the internet. The internet content is dominated by English. And so now you have increasingly businesses which are providing local language content. So that's one barrier which businesses are addressing. The second is, for example, the reticence of women to come online. Because the primary use of the smartphone and the internet is social communication and entertainment, there is a perception amongst this segment of the population that the internet is, quote unquote, a bad influence for women. It exposes them to bad influences. It can destroy marriages. And perceptions like this are actually reinforced by television serials and things like that. With the result that a lot of women self-censor. We did an interview with a woman once, and she told us that I have access to the internet, but I never go on Facebook and I never go on WhatsApp because I don't know what I will see. And maybe I will see something that I'm not supposed to see. So if you have women in large numbers self-restricting their use of the internet, you are actually cutting out one half of an important consumer demographic. And so therefore, businesses that help and encourage women to come online, like we've invested in a company called Helofy, which is an app for pregnant mothers in tier 2 and tier 3 cities, you're seeing good traction. I think those kinds of businesses which make it safe and comfortable for women to come online and use the internet, again, will be successful with the segment of the population. Their social and cultural context, again, is very different. You and I are very used to the shopping cart symbol and proceed to checkout on an e-commerce website. But essentially, these symbols are try and replicate what is an offline consumer experience, originally not even in India, but from outside India, right? Mm. But the shopping experience of a person in the next half billion is not going into a supermarket or a mall and picking things off the shelf and putting them in the basket. Their shopping experience is walking up to a store, standing behind a counter, having a conversation with the shopkeeper behind a counter who takes things off the shelf and helps them make their purchase
decision. Closer to a pharmacy kind of an experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so therefore, these symbols like the shopping cart and proceed to checkout are not only alien to them, but can also be intimidating. So I think entrepreneurs who build businesses which tackle things like this, I think have great potential to successfully address this segment.
Very interesting. And in terms of the nature of your investments or exposure in this theme of half billion, are there specific sub-segments you're going after?
Yes, I think we've identified 7 barriers and we are trying to build a portfolio of investments which address each of these 7 barriers. And they include things like reticence of women to use the internet, local language content, building trust and confidence in transacting online, adaptation to the social and cultural context and things like that.
Very interesting. So it's interesting that you sort of picked behaviors and you're going after people who are debottlenecking those behaviors rather than sectors.
Correct.
So it seems like an interesting way of segmentation.
As an executive coach, I could relate to the distinction that Rupa makes between contribution and attribution when it comes to traceability of impact. In the social impact world, a lot of the discussion often ends up being either or when it comes to social enterprise versus not-for-profit. So it was interesting to see Omidyar Network leveraging the power of financial capital in enabling tech-driven firms to drive social impact and the power of grants to drive policy agenda, policy reform, or sector infrastructure. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of the content that's covered here, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, and several other podcast apps. In fact, Google has recently launched an app for listening to podcasts on the Android platforms. If you went to playtopotential.com, you would also have the opportunity to listen to multiple voices curated by a topic. Playlist topics include Reinventing Self, which is about how people change trajectories significantly in their careers. Early Formative Years, where leaders talk about how their childhood has influenced them profoundly. Insight on Career Paths, which is about various professionals talking about the ups and downs of their career and how individuals should think about embarking on that path. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate the show, and share a review. It will help others discover it. Thank you for listening.